What on earth is going on? Just when we think we're over one crisis in the world, another one seems to come along right behind it. Is it just the media reporting too much news for us to absorb? Or could we be approaching the end of the world as we know it? Maybe things are not really as bad as some would have us believe, or that the world has always had bad times and things will soon get better. Whatever the answers are to these questions, we can know one thing for sure. God knows what's going on, and He tells us that He is in charge and promises that the world is not going to be utterly destroyed. Yes, there's good news around the corner, but I have to tell you, the Bible predicts that things will get worse before they get better. On tomorrow's world, we show you what is happening around us in the light of Bible prophecy. We want you to know how you and your family can face the days ahead with trust and confidence in God. Do you want to know how you and your loved ones can receive God's protections and blessings as prophecy is fulfilled? Then stay tuned. Warm greetings to our regular Tomorrow's World viewers, as well as those of you who've come to us for the very first time. Many of us are concerned about the changing world around us. Too often the predictable is, well, frankly, not that predictable. For many people, this new fast-paced world with all of its gadgetry is not always easy to accept. As the world hurtles toward its future with computers and new technology, some, it seems, get left behind. If you don't have access to a computer, or even if you know how to use one, you may feel uncertain about the future. So much of what we once did by telephone is now handled only by computer. Where are things headed? And is there something that you can do to prepare for the future? Think about it. Do you find yourself living your life as if God is irrelevant, that He has no say in how you live? Or maybe you are seeking Him so you can bring your life into harmony with His purpose and will. If so, get down on your knees and ask Him to show you what you should do to please Him. Ask Him to guide your decisions and in your life. He will hear your prayers and answer them. He'll not force us to obey, but would rather that we choose to obey Him. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Can you see the choice is ours to make? God wants us to respond to His call. So many people in Western countries are coming to understand that the 60 or more years of the so-called good life that they have enjoyed could very well be coming to an end. Are you concerned? Well, God tells us that He wants to take care of those who obey Him. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous, strong hand. When we understand that it is God who holds the affairs of this world in His hand, we can set aside our cares and worries and seek Him in our life. In Dr. Roderick Meredith's opening statement in his book, prophecy fulfilled, God's hand in world affairs, he writes the following. Humanity today is facing staggering crises of war, disease, pollution, drought, and famine. Where will it all lead? Bible prophecy reveals that God is working through current events to bring about a future time when the whole world will be at peace. If you understand what God is doing and what he has planned for his creation, you can have a hope in times of trouble. So many people nowadays are fascinated by prophecy and even go to fortune tellers. Often such a person is a woman who sits in a darkened room with a crystal ball. She's believed to be possessed with psychic powers that enable her to look into the future. Many have been convinced that the prophecies of such soothsayers are true and plan their lives according to them. The Bible reveals that these people may be influenced by spirit powers that are not from God and tells us to have nothing to do with them. A similar source of prophetic utterances comes from astrologers who follow complicated movements of the stars and the planets. They believe that a person's birth date, including the very hour and the minute of birth, determines the fate of every human who is born. Notice what God says about such forecastings in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, and in verse 2. Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 2. Do not learn the ways of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. He also instructed the ancient Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 10, there shall not be found among you one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer. With a decline in traditional Christianity in the Western world, it's understandable that old pagan and witchcraft practices will regain a place in our society. You have a choice to make as to who will educate you in spiritual matters. God makes no room for astrology in his prophecies. He's the great God, the one who determines the future, and he reveals his truth to his servants. Believing that the stars and planets rule our lives is not according to the Bible. But God does let us know what the future holds through his inspired prophecies. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He also tells us that only he will reveal his prophecies and that no human can interpret them. One rule that we adhere to on this program is that the Bible interprets the Bible. The age of the prophets is past, but the ability to understand what they wrote is available today, but only to those who are obedient to God's will. Notice how the Apostle Peter put it in his second book in chapter 1 and in verse 20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. How does the Bible interpret the Bible? You know, it's really quite simple. Prophecy uses signs and symbols, and they're common both to Old and New Testaments. Let me show you what I mean. In Revelation chapter 12, we read about a great red dragon in verse 3. Let me read what it says. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon. Who's this red dragon? Verse 9 gives the answer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Some biblical interpreters have tried to identify the red dragon with China, but that's not what the Bible tells us. Once again, we're told that the red dragon is Satan himself. It's the same serpent or snake that we encounter in Genesis chapter 3, who deceived Mother Eve. We also read about him in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 2, when a good angel will bind the dragon that serpent of old who is the devil and Satan. We also read of other symbols such as mountains representing governments and waters being armies or a multitude of people. Remember, today's program is titled, What on Earth is God Doing? It is a good question because many people think that he is not interested or does not care about the world. They think that he created the world and mankind and then walked away and left us to our own fate. I was talking with a person recently who said that she is an atheist. She went on to explain that she could not believe in a God who will not stop all of the evil in the world. I explained to her that God is most certainly concerned about all humans and he will intervene, but only when mankind has finally admitted that human efforts have totally failed. It's interesting how many people do not want God to meddle in their life. Oh, but when they're in a crisis, they cry out for his help. So it will be for mankind as a whole. Only when we face extinction through nuclear war or mass death by chemical warfare will we cry out to God to save us. Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, "For then there will be great tribulation, that is, stress and great trouble, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Let me explain an important point that is not well understood. I'm going to explain it this way. This is not God's world. What do I mean by that? Most professing Christians believe that the great God is the God who is controlling the politics and the culture of this present world. But that's not so. Does that shock you? Let me prove the point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we break into a sentence that is explaining that the gospel is veiled to many, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Did you notice that? The God of this age. It's not as you probably imagine. There's not some great battle going on between God and Satan to save the souls of all of mankind in this age or at this time. There'll be a new age in the future when Satan will be chained for 1,000 years and Jesus Christ will reign on the earth. It is then that God will rule this world, but not now. Then the true potential of this earth and humans will be achieved. This is why we call our program Tomorrow's World, and it's why we so passionately believe that salvation is coming soon for all mankind. The devil tricked Adam and Eve into believing that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would make them wise. Do you realize that we all practice a mixture of good and evil in our lives? What is needed is a complete repentance of individuals as well as the whole of society. When we admit that our goodness is not good enough and is tainted by the evil that is also within us, we can ask God to rule our lives. It's God's goodness being lived in us through Jesus Christ that makes us righteous. Longtime viewers of Tomorrow's World know that we uphold the important key to understanding prophecy, and that key is understanding that the founding fathers of the United States and the British cousins are descended from Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was also known as Israel. The Jewish people of the modern nation of Israel are also descended from the same Israelitish stock, but are only one of the 12 tribes. We fervently teach that God has preserved the house of Israel, and they are to be found amongst the Anglo-Celtic people, as well as many in northwestern Europe. There have been critical moments in the history of the British people where God has intervened to save them. One of the most dramatic was in 1588, when a great naval armada of 124 ships was assembled by King Philip II of Spain. It sailed from the port of Cadiz with the blessing of Pope Sixtus V. Their mission was to overthrow Queen Elizabeth and reinstate Catholicism in England. This pope described this great amassing of ships, the Invincible Armada. Let us hear a quotation on page 18 of Dr. Meredith's book, Prophecy Fulfilled. "Though the English naval forces tenaciously fought, eventually they exhausted their gunpowder. At this critical point, an unprecedented gale force wind arose and drove many of the heavily armed, lumbering Spanish galleons to their doom. The weather-beaten ships that limped home to Spain were so damaged that many could never again be used." Queen Elizabeth, commemorating the Spanish defeat, issued a silver medal bearing the inscription, "God blew and they were scattered." She knew who took charge of the winds at that critical hour in the history of her people. Let's ask the question, how does God know in advance what will happen? Well, the answer is indeed interesting, and we find it in the book of Isaiah chapter 46 and in verses 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time things that are not yet done." God is the one who makes things happen according to his plan. He, and only he, can do so. It would appear that the demons have limited knowledge of the future, but only as God allows them to know. We know that the descendants of ancient Israel are primarily the Americans and British people. God tells us in prophecy that they will go through a time of testing and trial in the near future. After this time, they will be restored by God. Listen to what he tells us. "But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God who formed the earth and made it? I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place on the earth. I do not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare the things that are right." And then in chapter 40, verse 15, we get an idea of just how God sees us. "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing." He also says in verse 22, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." What is God doing on earth? He's letting us learn a great collective lesson that he is God and there is no other. As an individual, you need to learn this lesson as well. God is in charge of our life. We're approaching a time when the peacefulness and the serenity that has come from the blessings of Abraham, which we have enjoyed, will vanish. It is a time to get our houses in order. It's a time to put our lives in God's hands. It's a time to cease our human goals. It's a time to change. How do we know we are living in the last days or at the end times, as they are called in the Bible? We know by the signs around us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 and 33, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. The prophetic fig leaves are budding on the world scene right now. We live in the most sobering and yet exciting times ever. Future generations will ask us, what was it like to live at the time of mankind's failed experiment on earth, just before Jesus Christ returned? How will you answer? Will you say something like, well, I was just not interested enough to see the signs. I got caught up in the hustle and bustle of life to do anything. Oh, but I do remember a television program that told me what would happen. But by the time the events they talked about came upon me, it was too late. You don't have to be one of these people. God is offering you a chance through this program to consider your possible inclusion in His plan for saving mankind in tomorrow's world. It will require changes in your life today. Let me tell you, it will be worth the effort. So far, we've shown you that there are false prophets peddling their ideas about the future. We've also shown you how the great God, the creator of the universe, is vitally interested in world affairs. He has not just gone off and left us. He is, however, wanting us to make a choice. And the choice is His way of life versus our way. My experience when I first listened to the truth as God revealed it to me was to think, I really need to look into this further. There were some things that I didn't agree with, and I put some of them on the back burner. But as time went by, I came to understand the big picture. I could see that this world did not have the answers to life's problems. As I realized that Jesus Christ will return and that He is preparing a people now to co-rule with Him on the earth, I wanted to be a part of it. I began to bring my life into harmony with what was revealed to me from the Bible. Maybe the same thing is happening in your life. Fulfilled prophecy is a major key to understanding what has happened, what is happening, but more importantly, understanding future prophecy tells us what will happen. The Apostle Paul was inspired to predict 2,000 years ago what life would be like right now at the end of this age. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. But know this, that in the last days, perilous, the margin says, times of stress will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. The list goes on to include brutal and despisers of good, haughty, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does this all sound familiar? Too many of us are becoming victims of such wickedness, but God promises that He will protect us if we will put our lives in His hands. If you have watched the program thus far, it is because you want to bring your life into harmony with God's will. You really want to turn it around and take charge of the way you speak, think, and act. If you consider the impact that you have on others' lives, you will be conscious that you can make other people's lives happy or not happy. Would you like to take this one step further? Would you like to be counted worthy to receive a crown of life and a reward when Jesus Christ returns to this earth? That is what He promises us. Notice what He said through the pen of James in chapter 1 and in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And your reward? Let's read that in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 14, right at the end of the Bible. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city. A glorious eternal life awaits all who have made the choice. What choice? Remember the words we heard at the very beginning of the program from Deuteronomy chapter 30 and in verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. To help you gain a deeper understanding of what we have been talking about today, I have a booklet to offer you. It's called Prophecy Fulfilled, God's Hand in World Affairs. Please visit our website, which will be shown momentarily, to read this informative booklet. Be sure to join us again next week for Tomorrow's World. Gerald Weston or Richard Ames will bring you more good news about a new world that is coming and the opportunity you can have to play a vital part in its implementation. Jesus Christ is preparing a people to help him bring peace, prosperity, and plenty to a weary old world in the world tomorrow. Do you want to be with him? Be sure to come back next week to hear more good news of Tomorrow's World. Goodbye, friends.
If you would like to learn more about today's topic, visit tomorrowsworldhk.com to view or order Prophecy Fulfilled, God's Hand in World Affairs. This free offer explores how Bible prophecies impact the rise and fall of nations, both in the past and the future. TomorrowsWorldHK.com also has valuable articles revealing God's principles for living an abundant and happy life, while providing rare insight into current and future events. Use the quick response code shown on the screen to read, download, or order a free copy of today's offer. You can also watch or download a copy of today's program and sign up for Tomorrow's World weekly e-newsletter. All these features are also available at tomorrowsworldhk.com. The preceding program has been produced by the Living Church of God.